We have Kent here with his new bride, Marissa. I don't want to embarrass you, but do you mind standing up? Now, if anybody wants to know who this is with Kent, it's his wife. Her name is Marissa. She's beautiful. He's not. Praise God. Yeah, he did say a few things about me being Santa. Amen. I remember that. That's how I know it. Okay, there you go. There you go. Vengeance of mine, saith Lord, because I even forgot about that. Amen. Yeah. And also Sunday school, please start coming to Sunday school. You're missing out on something great, because we've even got something called family style Sunday school, where you get to participate in Sunday school with your children. It's something awesome. It's something new. It's on the cutting edge. It's probably one of the most awesome things. When other people find out about it, they're going to be trying to do this. This was a directive from the Lord for my wife to have family style. And maybe we can get Parker's Barbecue here sometimes. Family style. But you will enjoy it. Plus, you'll get a chance to be with your children. And it's a family thing. It's something very unique. It's something to, we've been praying about something to get Sunday school fired back up. This is awesome. Also, remember today at 2 o'clock, Candy's funeral, Candy Walker, she's having her funeral today here. At 2 o'clock, there's a visitation. At 3 o'clock, it's the service. Let's don't forget that. Also, tonight, after service, we were going to do it before, but the funeral took place of that. Tonight, after service, the baptistry is got water in it. See there? It's ready to go. And so tonight, and if we get people wanting to sign up for baptizing, the service will be really light because we want to focus on baptizing. But what it is here's your chance. Lord, show me this. A lot of times we've gotten baptized and our wife may be baptized someplace else and we got baptized here, or our children were baptized in spurts. And if you want your whole family to be baptized at once, what a testimony. So tonight, if you want to be baptized, man and wife, with your children, or with all your children at one time, here's the water's in there. The water's fine. I swam in it yesterday. The water is fine. So please pray about it. And all you got to do to be baptized is you got to know that you're born again. And I'm going to ask you to testify that you're born again. And you need to bring you a change of clothes. So just bring you a change of clothes. We do have robes, and the robes are good. But those robes, once you take them off, you still got a bit of clothes on. And a wet clothes on Sunday night in January, I can guarantee you, is not a happy thing. Outside, amen. Amen. All right, remember last week we talked about this. I said I wanted to apologize to you. And the reason I want to apologize to you, because there's been some subjects I was kind of hesitant to talk about. And I would talk about a little bit at a time here and there, a little piecemeal here and there. And the Lord convicted me and said, you are robbing your people of a blessing. And so, just like with the heating system, people think, well, the church is loaded with money. No, it's not. It's not. And even if it was loaded with money, it's an opportunity for somebody to get a chance to participate with putting in that heating system back in the back. We've been propping them up and propping them up and propping them up. Finally, we've propped them up so much now that they fell over. And so we're going to have to start replacing them one at a time. And again, God's got a remedy for all that. And I'm going to tell you about that in just a minute. But here we go. You know, a mother wanted to teach her daughter a moral lesson. So she gave the little girl a quarter and a dollar for church. She said, put whichever one you want in the collection plate and keep the other for yourself. When they were leaving church, the mother asked the little girl which amount she had given. And she said, well, I was going to give the dollar, but just before the collection, the man in the pulpit said that we should all be cheerful givers. I knew I'd be a lot more cheerful if I gave the quarter. So I did. Amen. Get your Bibles out to 1 Chronicles. I'm going to talk about stewardship again. I don't know how long this is going to go. I'm doing it different ways and different avenues, something different. So you don't think it's just that same old, when all of a sudden I say stewardship, you turn the ears off. And I look at you. My mother-in-law, Beverly's mama, my first mother-in-law, she was deaf and she had hearing aids. And I'd sit there sometimes and DC and Daniel would be like little Indians on the warpath in the house, running back and forth, chasing each other, screaming. And I look at her and she'd be going. And I'd be going. And everybody else would be going. And she'd be just going. And I finally went to her one day and says, "Can your nerves handle all of that?" And she said, "Huh?" I said, "How can your nerves handle all that?" She said, "Excuse me." And she turned that thing on and said, "Now talk again. I'd hurt my hearing aids off." And so when DC and Daniel would cut up, she would turn off her hearing aids. You know, so sometimes in church, when the subject's not exactly what you want to hear, you turn off your hearing aid, so to speak. And you just sit there and smile and walk out and say, "What the preacher? I don't know." Well, weren't it good? I reckon it was. I was in the zone. Yeah, you're in the zone, all right. You had everything zoned out because you didn't want to hear it. So today we're going to do it a different way. And again, like I said, I apologize. I apologize wholeheartedly because I personally have had a hand in robbing you of blessings because I won't preach on it because I'm afraid you'll be offended and you'll say, "All we want is money." This is not about money. Okay? So y'all go ahead and look at somebody right now and tell them it's not about money. Although money's involved. Tell somebody although money's involved. Next week we're going to have brownies. How many like brownies? I'm going to preach for brownies next week. Okay? Now stewardship is using God-given abilities to manage God-given resources to accomplish God-given results. That's what stewardship is. All right? Let me read the scripture. And yes, even on this, it's the Bible. My daddy, I was reading the Bible to my daddy. He said, "Son, you ain't got a Bible." I said, "Daddy, I got a Bible." He says, "No, it's not a Bible." I said, "Yes, it is." I said, "Matter of fact, I've got over 100 versions of the Bible in here." He says, "Not a Bible." I said, "What do you call a Bible, Daddy?" He says, "Well, something that's got a front and a back." I said, "There's a front and there's a back." He said, "Yeah, but it ain't a Bible." I said, "Okay, Daddy." So then I went and got the other Bible. And when I pulled it out, I watched him reach to his hearing aids and turn them off. So please don't turn your hearing aids off. I mean literally. I mean spiritually, mentally, okay? Look at 1 Corinthians. Stand for the reading of the Word. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. We're going to have fun today. Somebody say we're going to have fun today. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. If you don't know what 1 Chronicles is, it's before 2 Chronicles. Verse 10. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. Hold on, let me just back it up to verse 9. I like that verse 9. Then the people rejoiced, for they offered willingly, because with the perfect heart. What did we just sing about? Wow, do you know they did not know that this was going to be preached on this morning? Nobody knew but me. That's awesome. The people rejoiced, for they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord, and David the king also rejoiced with great joy. They're getting ready to build this humongous temple. Solomon's going to build it, but David put in his part, and the people put in their part. Then he says in verse 10, "Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and said, David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and all that is in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is made, you make it great, and it gives strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank you, and we praise our glorious name." We'll stop it right there. We're going to go a little further in just a minute. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I know, God, that you're alive. I know you're well. I know you're on the throne. And God, you showed me something. Sometimes the things you fear the most are the things that can set you free. Sometimes the things you fear the most can set you free. Father, I ask you right now, Lord, to help us to understand, to let your word be consumed in our minds and in our spirit to get way down deep. I ask you right now, Father, to touch and anoint. I thank you for everybody that's here, God. Everybody's important. There's not one here that is not. Father, there's here the people we know. There's people here we don't know. They're still equally important and loved in your eyes. Ask you right now, Lord, to let this word go forth, Lord, on bountiful, or excuse me, on good soil, so that it can reap a bounty in their lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. You can be seated on the way down. Get somebody a high five and say, I got a feeling everything's going to be all right. All right. Just a few slides from last week so we can keep it going. ABCs. Last week was attitude. How many want revival? I mean, you're serious. Don't raise your hand if you're not serious. I hear people talk about it, but how many really want revival? Flip Wilson one time in the church of What's Happening Now was up. He was doing his woo preaching. And he said, Lord of church. He said, God's called us to crawl, so let the church crawl. And everybody hollered out, let it crawl. Amen. Yeah, but God don't just want you to crawl. God wants you to walk. Let the church walk. And he said, and they went, yeah, let the church walk. Amen. And then he said, God just don't want the church to walk. Let the church run. And they said, yeah, let the church run. Amen. Then he said, God wants the church to fly. And they said, yeah, let the church fly. Amen. And then Flip Wilson said, if you want to see the church fly, you got to give. And they holler, let the church crawl. Let the church crawl. How many really want revival? We talk about having these special speakers and these special services and all this stuff coming through, but I'm going to tell you the simplest way right now that'll start revival right now in your heart. Now. Not tomorrow. Not next week. Now. How many want revival now? How have I told you could have it right this moment? The Lord showed me. We cry for revival. But there's one element that we keep out of it. We want God to pour it down. When He's pouring it down, we don't want to catch it and release it. And so we become the kidnappers of our own revival. Our stewardship holds us hostage. Oh, come on, y'all, don't shout me down. The Lord showed me this yesterday. I'm preaching. I said, Lord, if I'm going to go ahead and do it, let me go ahead and do it. If they're going to shoot me, let them shoot me. Let the bullets be rubber. They hurt too, but you know, they don't penetrate as bad. Amen. If you're going to throw fruit, make sure it's not canned fruit. Okay, ready? Here's the stewardship. Our time, our talent, our treasure, our testimony. Our testimony last week, acknowledging Him with an attitude that He can use, and then go into action. Okay? So now many think that stewardship is only money or giving of my resources, but giving money to the church is not stewardship, it's a part of it. And many may think that, well, it's about doing ministry, giving of my abilities, but what you do in the ministry for God is still only a part. Y'all say it's a part of it. Well, the stewardship is not about what I can give and what can I do. What's stewardship about? Here it is, and this is where we stopped. This is where we're at last week. Let it rip there, dear. Oh, it fell over. Like the air conditioning back there, it just fell over. Stewardship is about having the heart of stewardship. Good stewardship is a matter of attitude that stands behind your giving and your service. I'm doing marriage counseling. Two people are sitting there, and one's crying over, and I say, do you really want this to work? And he goes, yeah. I said, are you sure? Yeah. I said, won't you just apologize to her? He goes, okay. Well, hold her hand. Do I have to? Yes. Takes her by the hand. I say, an apology. He goes, it's your fault, but I'm sorry. Guess what? Attitude. Somebody say attitude. Last week we talked about attitude. We're not going back into that. This week, though, we're going to talk about the blessings of being a steward. How many know there's a blessing of being a steward? Revival starts the moment you make your mind up that you're going to be a faithful steward. You can't blame it on me. Oh, if the preacher was a little more fired up. You know what? If the church is cold, put the thermometer in your own mouth. Blame the preacher. Blame the singers. Blame the music. Blame the water in the baptistry. Blame that light that's burnt out. The truth of the matter is, the moment we become good stewards is the moment revival starts in our life. Because then what God gives you, you put back out. Mentally, physically, spiritually. God just keeps showing me, if you want revival, then you got to be a steward. So now, watch this. Here we go. The blessings of stewardship. Let's put it up there again, that scripture. Then David praised the Lord in the sight of all the assembly. David said, may you be praised, Lord God of our father Israel, from eternity to eternity. Yours, Lord, is the greatest and the power and the glory and the splendor and the majesty for everything in the heavens. Y'all say everything. And on earth belongs to you. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom, and you are exalted as head over all. Riches and honor come from you, and you are the ruler of everything. Power and might are in your hand, and it is in your hand to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? For everything comes from you. Whoa! Whoa! We got a new air conditioning system. It's coming. We got the money for it. Right now. You know where it's at? In our pockets. Wow. Why can we give generously to you, God? Because you give it back. Oh. God gives to us so we can give back to Him. Wow, this is so awesome. This isn't about me trying to beg money out of somebody. Brother Steve up there begging money out of somebody. We up there trying to pour mouth. No, God said, my people, when they give bountifully to me, I give bountifully back. Wow, that's awesome. So who am I and who are our people that we should be able to give as generously as this? For everything comes from you and you have given you only who comes from your own hand. For we live before you as foreigners and temporary residents in your presence. In other words, we're strangers and pilgrims here. In your presence, as we are our ancestors, our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. Our life is like a vapor. This is all you can see all this in the New Testament. Yahweh, our God, all this wealth we have provided for building your house for your holy name comes from your hand because everything belongs to you. Wow. I want to say that word again. Go to the next slide, dear. Look at this. One word. Everything. Verse 11, the word says, I love it. Everything. God, he's saying, for all that is in heaven and all that is in earth, everything is yours. Now look down again. Verse 14, everything comes from you. Verse 16, and all of it belongs to you. Again, please, I give you my sincerest apologies because I was so afraid I was going to offend you. I hurt you. Please forgive me. I said, God, if you'll let me, I will not put a no-no on any subject you give me from here on out. It's all coming. All right? All right. So now, everything that comes from you, and it all belongs to you. King David understood that everything comes from God. Again, y'all say this word. Everything. Everything. Say it again. Everything. Now, I'm trying to hurry up. I want to get you out of here by at least 1:30 so they can start setting up for the funeral. There went the hearing aid. All of a sudden, I saw two people go. Okay, get ready. I'm hurrying. Real quick, I just want to run through this thing. Truth number one, we need to know that our God has the ability to give. We serve a giving God. How many have a need in here? Everybody can raise your hand. How many has a need in here that you cannot handle on your own? Raise your hand. You're in a good position. You're in a great position. Did you know that? If you got a need today that you cannot provide and you cannot handle, praise God, you're in a good position because guess what? God's getting ready to unload on you. And when He unloads on you, you're going to go, wow. But in order for him to unload on you, have you ever seen a gun? You know what they used to do back in the olden days, the way they made some I've seen them in the Civil War, the way they made some honestly made, homemade IEDs. They took their rifle and they plugged it with mud. And then they took it in the area they wanted to blow up and they pulled the trigger. When they pulled the trigger, what happened was the bullet couldn't go anywhere. It exploded. The gun exploded. It was a homemade IED. Some of us are carrying around homemade IEDs with us. Because God's given it to us. And we've locked up the barrel. Praying for revival, and we're getting blown up every time we turn around. God, you don't love me because I'm getting blown up every time I turn around. Unclog the barrel. I'm getting ahead of myself. Get ready. I told you if I'm going to go for it, I'm going for broke. Y'all go ahead and don't shoot me. All right, ready? If you do, I hope your barrel's blocked. Verse 12, David said, wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength all. He is all powerful. He is all sufficient. He is more than able. Y'all say able. He is more than able to meet every need here. God is not waiting for the Congress to bail him out. God is not waiting for the United Kingdom to come together and decide whether he can move or not. He's not waiting for the League of Nations to decide whether he can start wars or halt wars. He's not waiting to find out what we think. God is in control. He's all powerful. So watch this. God has the, I love this. God's ability to give. Watch this. I love it. Get ready. Hold your socks on. God is sovereign. Get ready. You can write these down. First, he's supreme. He's Jehovah. You might have even heard this word before. Jehovah Sabaoth. Y'all say Sabaoth. Jehovah Sabaoth means the Lord of hosts, Isaiah 1:24. He's all powerful. He's El Shaddai, God Almighty, Genesis 49:24. He's the all-sufficient Elohim, the creator, the mighty one, the strong one, Genesis 17:17. He's able to give. He's Yahweh Jireh. Or Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide, Genesis 22:14. He's a big God, El Gibor. You know that's what makes it feel so good? If God was to stand up here today, he wouldn't see some little skinny God. He'd be a big God. He'd probably look more like the rock than like me. I look more like the roll. Amen. But y'all pray for me. I got TB, and God's got to help me with it. I got TB. Yeah, two bellies. Okay. And my God, y'all ever say this with me? And my God, and here's your God. Who is your God? Look at all those names, and that's only a short list. My God will supply or meet all my needs according to his glorious riches and glory through Christ Jesus. So why do we have to be afraid? Why do we have to fear what's coming this way? God is in control. Amen. But watch this. Here's the secret. This is something I was working on hard this week. I said, Lord, you got to help me. Show me something. God, you got to show me. Watch this. Let it rip. God, he's willing to give. The truth is that we need to know about God's willingness to give. Everything comes from you and everything's been given comes from your hand. Get ready. Y'all got to watch this. God is willing to give you today what you need. He's already given us the resources for anything he asks us to do. Anything he asks us to do, he's already given the need. Sometimes, though, we want to do more than he asks or less than he asks. And we want to know why he's not meeting that need. Or we want to do something other than he's asked. And we want to know why he's not meeting the need. You know, if DC and Daniel needed shoes when they were little, I'd take them in there and I'd give them the money for shoes. But if I gave them the money and watched them go over into the candy store and take all that money and spend it on candy, I'm not giving it to them. That should be ringing somebody's bell. Their need was shoes. Their want was candy. DC one time, one of these shoes that pumped up, they had bells and whistles. Nike had them. They were like $1 trillion. Yeah, back then. And we were coming back through. He had gotten $120 for Christmas. The shoes were $100. With tax, it would have been $105. And so he says, I said, DC, now you got the money. Stop at the Nike store. I'll buy you the $40 ones. And that was good back in those days. $40 for a pair of shoes. It was cool back when he was smaller. You got, look how big he is now. You know how I saved up money to buy him shoes? His shoe size equaled his age every year. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. I was pastoring in Williamson. There was a sports store there. They had about 20 different kind of styles for Daniel because Daniel wore a 9. They put a 15 and a 16 up and said, DC, take your pick. Which one fits? So I took DC into the store and I said, okay, son, now you got the $120 or whatever it was. Go buy your shoes. He said, I can't wait, Dad. I can't wait. We go in there and he starts looking around and he says, and he comes back and he's got the $40 shoes. I said, son, what's the $40 shoe? I thought you wanted $100-something shoes. The one that pumped up, had bells and whistles, had guided missiles on them, all kinds of stuff. And I looked in the other hand, and he had some Nike shirts, T-shirts, and stuff. And he said, you know what, Dad? I realized something. I didn't need all that. He said, that's more than enough right here. Plus, look at now what I've got. Some of us right now, we're begging for them $100-something shoes that's got the bells and whistles. And God says, I said I'd take care of you, but I'm not going to spoil you. Oh, y'all ain't heard that. I ain't going to spoil you. So watch this. I'm going to tell you something right now that's going to help you more than anything, I believe, until we get to the next point. And that's going to help you more than this one. This is going to change your life. Do you want to know what causes problems in this area? We want resources that we don't need. You see, God says He's going to give us today what we need today. Wow. What's the Lord's prayer? Lord, give us this day our daily bread. And then we get upset because we don't have bread for tomorrow. You know what? You may not be here tomorrow. Today we're doing a funeral for a 32-year-old woman. You may not be here tomorrow. Plus, tomorrow's need will change. You may think you need one thing and you get up tomorrow and the circumstances have changed and you don't need that. You need something else. I'm not saying don't save and I'm not saying don't prepare and I'm not saying don't get insurance. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about live out the back of your trunk. I'm talking about when it comes to God's economy, He expects us like the ant to prepare for the winter. Yes, prepare. Don't stop preparing. But when you are talking to God about your need, remember, He said, what's the prayer? Give us this day our daily bread. You say, well, where's all that at? Show me something about it. Here you go. Get ready. Get ready. It's really a matter of trusting Him to supply all that you need for this hour. Here it goes. Watch. When he gave manna in the wilderness, what did He tell them? Get you enough for that day. He says, and if you get more than enough for this day, it's not going to be good. And so some people would go out and try Him anyway, and they would get more than they did for that day, and it would rot in the pot. Worse than chicken snot. It would rot. I know, I was just trying to see if y'all were listening. I was getting you turn your hearing aids back on. All right. They discovered the next morning all that stuff they thought that was going to be so good for tomorrow, the next day was not good. Another way, what he was teaching was, here's the principle. We don't know what tomorrow holds. That's what the Bible teaches. We don't know what tomorrow holds. Prepare for tomorrow. That's right. Get insurance. Put money aside. Have savings. That's not what he's talking about. But we don't know what our specific need is going to be tomorrow because tomorrow's not here yet. All it's going to take is one phone call from a doctor, one phone call from a lawyer, one phone call from your accountant. It's going to take one thing happening on your job. It's going to take one thing happening in your family. And all the things you thought you needed today for tomorrow, when you get to tomorrow, you find out that does not count. That's the principle God was teaching. So watch this. On Fridays, they were commanded to collect enough manna for 2 days because they were not supposed to work on the Sabbath. So on Friday, they collected enough for 2 days and it stayed fresh. So under the commandment of God, everything was cool. But if you go beyond the commandment of God, it was ruined. Lesson, God gives willingly, but He gives what you need, your need for today. He doesn't give you tomorrow's grace today. Think about what I just said. He does not give you tomorrow's grace today. So now let's go a little bit deeper. I know you want to go deeper, amen? That's right. Y'all want to go deeper? Okay.
God's partnership. I was going deeper.
God's partnership. His reason to give. The truth is, we need to know that He has a reason to give. He has a reason why He blesses us. That there was a guy you heard of him, Deacon Jones. Anybody heard of Deacon Jones? Car dealership? He started out with just a little bit, now he's all over the place, but you know what he does? I know why God's blessed him so much. When a pastor comes in and says, I need a car, I've watched him. He's done it with me. He don't give you the car, no. You still pay for it. But he will bend over backwards and he will find a way to make it work. If you go in there needing a car, you will walk out with that car, especially if you're a pastor or a preacher, because he knows you got to have that car to do what you got to do. And so he, over all these years, has helped. I've seen him when people did not have a way to get a car, he gave them. Let me tell you what he did, and I got to move on. I didn't even know him. I'm riding down the road. I've been to a conference, a training conference. I come back. I'm on I-95. I have a Ford Escort. That's probably the problem, but I had a Ford Escort. and I'm riding down the road, and my car starts running hot, and I-95 is blocked. My car's running hot, and so I'm out at exit 97, somewhere around there, exit 70s, in the 70s. Matter of fact, I think I was at Selma, I'm not sure, but I looked over and I said, the car's running hot, they're not moving, I don't know what to do. I said, well, we got a problem. So I pull across the median, and I go and hit the first exit, I pull into, I think it was the McDonald's, and you won't see it now because all those things have changed, but when it was McDonald's, I stopped the car. We did not have cell phones back then. Believe it or not, we lived before cell phones. And survived, yes. So I get in the phone booth, and I call my mother-in-law who's watching DC and Daniel. So when I call my mother-in-law to tell them that we're going to be late because the car, there's water all over. Once I pulled into McDonald's, water went everywhere. I did not know that the shuttlecock, what's it called? That you let all the water out your, yeah, whatever it is, petcock, handcock, whatever it is, it blew it out on I-95. It was not even there while I was in line and the car was running hot. The water stayed. When I pulled to McDonald's, the water came out. And so here, I can't even crank it now. I know I can't crank it. I call my mother, I'll tell her we're going to be late, and I find out, they said, she's been rushed to the hospital. She stepped out. They were moving the front porch, and she didn't know it, and she stepped out and landed flat on that leg, straight down, and she crushed it. And they said, we're rushing her to surgery now. Of course, Beverly goes ballistic because now her mama, and I said, well, we got no way to get there. So I called where I had just come from, and when I called, the guy answered the phone and said, I'm glad you called now because I was on the way out the door. I said, well, I need some help. And he said, you stay right there. I have somebody there in 10 minutes. 10 minutes later, here comes somebody I don't even know, picks up my car and carries me to a car lot. I walk in the car lot. It's Deacon Jones' car lot. I walked in the car lot, talked to Deacon Jones' son. He says, what's up, man? I said, my car, I said, I don't know what's wrong with it, but I can't drive it. I got a mother-in-law. She's going into emergency surgery. She has crushed her leg, crushed her knee, and my wife's all to pieces, and I don't know what to do. He said, come here. See the Dozerville out there? I said, yes. He said, here's the keys, go. And I said, don't I need to sign anything? He said, go. And I said, what about my car? He said, I said, go. And so I get in his Oldsmobile, nice one. Nice one, really nice one. They don't even make, they're so nice they don't make them anymore, okay? And so I ride back. Actually, I was picked up and taken to the place because my car, I went to my car, I was getting relieved, and I reached in the dash pocket. How many's ever heard it called a dash pocket? Raise your hand. My wife says that. See, look at there. She says it's not a dash pocket. Okay, she's from Virginia. Okay. Okay, and so I reach in the glass pocket, the dash pocket, and I grab a tape from a camp meeting that I've not even heard before. I think I just got it. I picked up my, because this car had AM/FM cassette player. That's back when cassettes first come out. Okay, they used to beat them on a rock to make them work. Okay. And I said, well, this car's got a cassette player. I'll put that cassette in so we can listen, get ministered on the way home. I stick in the cassette and I turn it up. And all of a sudden, in this camp meeting, they're worshiping, the preacher's preaching, everything stops. And there's a message in tongues given. And here's the interpretation. You feel like I've left you. You feel like you're all alone. You feel like nothing's going to go right. But I need you to know there's times I let you walk by faith so that you can see my mighty hand move in your circumstance. My wife and I got, we held hands, we prayed. We went back to my mother-in-law for the surgery. I kept calling and seeing when my car going to be ready. And he kept saying, I'll tell you when. I said, but I want to know because I don't want to keep driving your car. I don't have anything written. He said, I told you I'd let you know. So he kept my car for a whole week. When I came in to pay him, I said, well, there's a wrecker fee. And he rotted my radiator. And he cleaned my system. And he done all this stuff. And I drove his car for 4, 5, 6 days. And I said, how much do I owe you? He said, well, I've got to charge you for the rodding because that was out of my shop. That was somewhere else where I towed it. I said, oh, no, another towing. And I said, so that's 40. And I could think of 100, 200, 300, 400. I said, well, how much do I owe you? He said, 40. He said, matter of fact, I want you to go take care of that mother-in-law and tell her I'm praying for her. Now, Deacon Jones has car lots all over the place, but you know why he keeps growing? Because he's got a heart like his father. And I'm not talking about Deacon Jones Sr. I'm talking about God. Okay? So now, watch this. We need to know this. Go ahead and let it rip, dear. God gives to us so that we can give back to Him and to others. Because in our part, it's a partnership. Did y'all know that? Stewardship is partnership. It's a partnership. How many wants to be in a partnership with somebody that won't work? How many wants to be in a partnership with somebody that just keeps taking the money and then goes and lays down and sleeps? How many wants to be in a partnership with somebody that absolutely could care less about the business? Okay? So watch this. It's a partnership. God wants us to be like Him because He's a giving God. Let's hurry up. Let's get on through this thing here. I don't want to lose y'all's attention. I know y'all got hamburgers on your mind. Ready? We need to remember that God is the initial giver. God is the initial giver. Ready? Ready? Go ahead. Go ahead. He models it for us. He expects us to do something with it. He gives things to us so that we can give back, give them back to Him. It's called the cycle of stewardship. The cycle of stewardship. Go ahead, dear. So watch this. The partnership is not complete until we give back to Him. The Dead Sea is dead because it's always receiving and it never has anywhere for it to go. It's got the richest content of any water in the world, but nothing can live in it because it's dead because it's so full of minerals that it can't get rid of them. And so So actually, all that wealth has become dangerous and deadly. In other words, the Dead Sea has stopped up its barrel, and every time it pulls the trigger, there's death. So now, watch this. I want to see this now. This is what I really want you to pay attention to, and then I promise I'll get you out of here before four. All right. Okay, get ready. Are you a container or a conduit? Now, watch the difference. Here's the difference. Here's a container of God's blessings. Here's a conduit. There's a conduit. He gives to me, I give back. And I'm going to explain all that. While I'm holding this one down, while I'm holding this hand up. And a conduit and a container is this. Give me, give me, give me. My name's Jimmy. Give me, give me, give me. Nothing has more impact on a person than being a blessing. How many have been a blessing and you just felt so good after you were that blessing? Even if it was your last dollar, how you felt so good. Matter of fact, I ain't got anything in my pockets right now. Not bragging, but because I gave my last dollar to somebody. You know, of course it was a grandchild, but that's okay. They say they don't count, huh? They don't count because grandchild. So watch this. Nothing is more impactful than a person being a blessing. Giving is the highest level of living we can achieve. Go ahead, dear. It's not what you have that makes the difference. It's what you do with what you have. Oh, ha, 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 ha. It's not what you got. It's what you do with what you got. So how can we give back? How can we become a conduit? We become conduits of God's blessings, I'm hurrying, when we focus on our time and our energy on how we can be a blessing to others rather than how we can get from them. Amen? Now watch this. This is cool. Watch this. Here's how God wants us to give. This is so awesome. How do we give back? We give back to God, number one. First, directly. Directly. Y'all say directly. We directly give back to God by bringing tithe and offering to the storehouse. We use our time, our talent, our treasures, our testimony to bless His house. Matter of fact, if we don't, you can just start turning the lights out and unscrewing the light bulbs. Turn the air conditioning off. Turn the heater off. Because God has made a way for this place to be able to supply needs. And that's through us giving. So just start. How is that coming here and all of a sudden you start seeing light bulbs taken out? Or you come in here and it's 90 degrees outside and 110 in here because we can't run the air conditioning. I just had to come here one Sunday and the doors are locked because we can't afford to open the doors. God's got a way. God shows us this way directly by giving to Him. That's why He says, will a man rob God? You have by not putting your tithe in because your tithe brings food or bread into my house. In other words, it keeps the place going. Amen? Now watch this. Watch this. And I want to read you something. There was a day that the church treasurer resigned from the church and asked the local grain operator, or the day the church treasurer resigned from the church asked the local grain elevator manager to take the position. He agreed to take the position under two conditions. Number one, no treasurer's report would be given for the first year. Number two, that no questions would be asked about the finances during the first year. The people were surprised but finally agreed since most of them did business with him and they knew he was a trusted man. At the end of the year, he gave the report. The church indebtedness of $228,000 had been paid in full. All the workers in the church, their salaries had increased. The missions program had been paid over and beyond by 200%. All the outstanding bills were paid in full. Matter of fact, there were no outstanding bills. And there was a cash balance of $11,252. As far as I know, this is a true story. Watch this. Immediately, the shocked congregation said, how do we do it? Where did the money come from? He quietly answered, said, most of you bring your grain to my elevator. Throughout the year, I simply withheld 10% on your behalf. Oh, it gets better. And I gave it to the church in your name. You didn't even miss it. Wow. 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 Don't say it with me. Wow. I got to say it again. Wow. Okay. So now, I mean, so a lot of times, here's how we act. Watch this. A woman gave her son, Billy, 2 quarters. It did say, it actually started out with somebody else's name, but I didn't want to call anybody in here. Well, you, Billy. Okay. Not that Billy. Okay, how about everybody, another Billy besides that Billy? A woman gave her son, Billy, 2 quarters, one for his Sunday school offering and the other was for ice cream on his way home from Sunday school. He kept flipping that quarter in the air and catching it on the way down. He'd flip it and he'd catch it. He'd flip it and he'd catch it on the way walking to the church. And after 8 times or so, he flipped it up and he missed it and it rolled down the storm sewer. It was gone. Billy looked skyward and he said, "Sorry, God." Okay, get ready. The second way to give back to God. First way is that way. That's the reason why everybody hears and they get all upset because you just want money. No, it's not about money. Second is indirectly by giving to others, using our time, talent, treasures, and testimony to bless others. So God has this system. But some of us want to do the biblical way. We want to do this the biblical way. We want to rob from Peter to pay Paul. We want to take our tithe to help everybody else. Where's the amen? I told you, if I'm going for broke. All right. Or we said we give our tithes, so why should we give to others? Either way, we don't understand that right there is a double-barrel shotgun that God can use to bless you and everybody around you. You know, we come up here on Friday nights and we practice now, practice hard for praise and worship. You say, well, why do we have to practice so much? Because that is stewardship. We want it to be awesome when it's here. Oh, I know we still got some kinks to work out. That's okay. But you know what? People are learning and they're doing and it's awesome and it's going forward, not going backwards. It's going forward. You just got to trust that God's got this thing and that we're moving forward. You see? And in the same way, when you practice, when you rehearse, when you do whatever you've got to do to help somebody, again, you're blessing us. So what? Double barrel shotgun. Bless his house. Bless others. Refuse to rob from Peter to pay Paul. Okay, so watch this now. This partnership or stewardship that God calls us to, this completes the cycle. He gives to us, we give back to him. That's how we do it, directly and indirectly. Y'all say directly. Now say indirectly. Okay, here it is. I'm getting ready to close. I know you think I'm telling you something, but I'm really going to close this time. Spiritual facts about giving. I'm gonna give you five of them, then we're gonna I want the guys to come and start getting ready. Number one, when we give, we obey God's command. It's all over the Bible about giving. All over the Bible. You cannot find a book in the Bible that has something about giving back to God. Watch this. Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Number one. Number two, submit to God's lordship. Verse 11, he owns it all anyway. I sent out a thing yesterday to the Mighty Army that said, why do I need to worry about my problems? Let it keep me up at night. Give them to God. He's awake anyway. Okay, lordship, God's lordship. Number three, exhibit God's heart when we give. John 3:16, for God so loved that he gave. I can give without loving. I prove that every time I write a check to the IRS. But I can't love without giving. Somebody says, are you just trying to buy love? No, I'm not talking about buying love. I'm talking about when I love my family, there's no greater pleasure than to give. And when I love you, there's no better greater pleasure than to give. And even people that I don't even know. How many's ever been in a grocery store and somebody's up there and they come up short with their groceries with the money and you got the extra money in your pocket? And instead of just giving the money, let them go on, you just go, hurry up, put something back, I got to go. And that little girl, that little boy saying, Mama, I really would. I'm hungry. And you're going, just take the youngin' out and feed him what you got. Forget this, get out of the way. Or you can just go ahead and throw the money up there. I've told you this before, but it fits perfect here. I walked into the food line one night, and the lady behind the counter said, are you a doctor? I thought it's because I was looking so. She said, are you a lawyer? I said, no. I said, I'm a pastor. She said, oh, that explains it. I said, explains what? She said, you made me cry about a month ago. I was thinking, I ain't even been here preaching, girl. I said, why'd I make you cry? Can you please tell me? She said, because there was a young mother up here with her groceries, and she was short $5, $6, $7, $8, $9, $10 food for her family. And she said, you weren't even behind her. You had already checked out. You were getting to walk out the door. And you heard me tell her, and you saw her looking for money and said, I don't have enough. And she said, without one word, you walked over and put a $10 bill down and said, that'll handle it. Just walked out. I'm not doing that for my glory, for my honor. No. Please. I'm telling you this stuff. I hate telling this stuff because I feel like I'm bragging on me. I'm bragging on him. But when I put that down, I just walked out and didn't even think anything about it. But not only did it touch that mother's life and those children's lives, it touched that cashier's life. And it was telling who else, maybe the person behind them and whoever. And all I was doing is, I weren't doing anything for me. I weren't even about me. Because I didn't even stop and say, yeah, my name is David Linton. But you make sure you come to church at every Christian church Sunday morning. Now, we'll be right here waiting. Just, that'll take care of it. You see, that's when you start getting his attention. Okay? You're exhibiting his heart. Number four, fellas, y'all get ready to play something because we're getting ready to throw down right now. Trust God's provision. Ecclesiastes 11:1 says, cast your bread upon the waters, for then you shall find it after many days. In other words, put stuff out there, getting ready for it to put stuff out there so it can actually be used. Then watch God send it back. And then finally, advance God's kingdom. Verse 9 says, David thanked them and thanked God that his people gave to build his house. And in verse 16 again, he says, everything you've given us to help, everything we've done to give to you, God, you gave it to us first. Wow. When you think about this, wow. Wow. When I think of what that treasurer did, wow. Nobody ever missed the money because God blessed. God blessed. God blessed. Right now, let me ask you a question. Everybody stand. I told you I was closing. I know they gave me more time, so I get out here by 12. Forgive me. I was not a good steward of time, but if I spoke it as fast as you needed me to speak it, so you get out here by 12, y'all would still be going, huh? Blessing. I want revival, and I want blessing. I want revival for me. I want to be blessed for others. My greatest joy in life is to be a blessing. I'm preaching a funeral for a guy this week that I hardly even knew him. But somebody told me, said, you know what? We don't know if he's ready. I didn't know he was going to die last week. I had no idea he was going to die last week. But I went up to see him. He was on a respirator. He couldn't even talk. I had to put on all this stuff to go in there to see him. Matter of fact, it became a big old fat hairy deal to go see him. And I could have easily said, you know what? I got other things to do. Again, I'm not bragging on me. Please, I am not bragging on me. I'm trying to prove a point or spell a point here. But I went there anyway. And when I was talking with the man, he couldn't even talk because the stuff was down his throat. And so he blinked his eyes and he motioned with his hands. And I got talking with him a little bit. And I said, you know what? I believe God can heal you. But if he don't, I got to ask you a very serious question now. And he looked at me and I said, if Jesus took you now, would you be ready? And he went. And I said, do you want to be ready? He went. And I said, do you trust me? I said, well, I'm going to lead you to the Lord. I know you can't talk, but you can do it with your eyes. You can do it with your hands. You can just do it with acknowledging. And we prayed him through to salvation, and a smile came on his face. And I said, can I tell your family? He went, and he died 2 days later. Now, you know what? I was very busy that day. This whole week has been nothing but a blur. But taking that time out for that one man, wow, I had no idea he was going to die. And now when I stand and give part in his funeral, I can stand up and I can, all I got to say is, I know where he's at because I know what he did 2 days before he died. You see, you never know when you're a blessing to somebody. You got to be a blessing. That's why God blesses us, to be a blessing to somebody else. Now, I'm not going to ask other than this. If you got a need from God, I want you to come on up here. If you need salvation, come on up here. If you need to rededicate your life, come on up here. If you want revival, come on up here. But when you come up here, I want you to tell God that I want to be a good steward, God. I'm not blaming everybody else for my problems. I need to be a good steward. Because when I become a good steward, then I have revival. All that will. I know you're saying that if we go to the altar, he's going to be even longer. No, you can leave if you need to. But come on. Please. You got a need in your life. You just want to thank God for something. Whatever it is. Come up to this altar. But here's all I want you to do. When you leave this place today, I want you to purpose in your heart that you'll be a good steward. Now, I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about time, talent, treasure, testimony. I want you to quit blaming everybody else for it. Take personal responsibility and say, God, I'm sorry. I blamed everybody else when I'm the one. I blamed everybody else for holding me hostage when I'm the one. God, I need your blessing. I desire your blessing. But I desire it so that I can be a blessing to others. God, help me share my time, my talent, my treasure, my testimony. God, it's nobody else's fault. Nobody can stop me from being a good steward. Nobody. It's me, Lord. It's me. Father, I thank you, Lord. It's me. Father, let me put that double barrel shotgun out there. Give to you directly, like you instructed us to do, and give you indirectly. Yeah, he says 10%, but you know what? He wants to be Lord over the whole 100%. He wants to be Lord over the 100%. I want to be a conduit, not a container. God, I know that you got blessings in store for us. And I know, God, revival is here. But it's not for everybody else to spark revival in me. I have to start it. And I start it by being a good steward. There's other things too. I know that. There's more things to it than that. But I'm talking about you wanting to start. This is the starting point. Because if you're not going to be a good steward, the rest of the stuff's going to be hit and miss. It's got to start with stewardship and work its way out. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There are times that you think he's not watching. You think he's not paying attention. I think it was yesterday, I think it was when I sent out Mighty Army. When you think God's doing the least, he's usually doing the most. Thank you, God. I desire revival, and I know that it starts with me, and I know it starts with stewardship, and then it moves out into worship. But it's got to start with stewardship. God needs to know that he can trust you with what he's getting ready to give you, and God wants to give you a lot more than you ever could imagine in time, talent, treasure, testimony. God wants to give you so much, more than you ever could imagine. Pressed down, shaken over, he wants to give it to you. But it's got to start with stewardship. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. You're an awesome God. Everything comes from you, Lord. Everything. And Father, I ask you to bless this message today, Lord. Not to go out and offend anybody, but instead to instruct and to inspire. To instruct and inspire. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. My beautiful bride. Today, 2 o'clock, visitation, 3 o'clock, funeral, 6 o'clock, service. And remember, the water's in the baptistry. It is warm, ready to go. If you want to be baptized, please let me know. All you got to do is tell me that you've been born again. And if you want to be baptized with your kids or baptized with your spouse, there's all kinds of ways. If you've already been baptized, but you want to do it again with your spouse, it's okay. It's okay. We're not up here to got a scorecard. And God doesn't have a scorecard. God's watching. And it pleases Him because it's obeying His word. So come see me. Please let me know. And if you're going to do it, you need to bring another set of clothes. Or walk home wet. Or walk to the car wet. Amen. I've done that before too. And I forgot. Got all the way out there and said, I ain't doing that again. Amen. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for this day. We thank you, God, for your word. Lord, I ask you, God, I thank you, God, for forgiving me of cutting people short. Lord, because of my fear, I learned the things I fear the most are the things that can set me free. I ask you right now, Lord, to minister to everybody here today, Lord. Let this go deep in their heart, Lord. So that they'll understand it's not about money. It's about loving you, Lord, and being a conduit. In the name of Jesus we pray. Let's come back tonight and let there be plenty of people get baptized. In the name of Jesus we pray.